But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. And then the father ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Let's pray. Oh God, God of our lives, God of our destinies, in this very moment I ask you your presence in your hearts. May I speak the words you have prepared. May us, all of us, listen to your words this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I know it's always hard to wake up in the morning, in the very first day when we are changing time. Ooh. I know. I know myself. But what a nice day today to walk. Actually, we are in a journey. Lent is a journey. It's a journey. So I'd like to invite you to continue this journey with me as we walk towards the cross with Jesus, but right after that, resurrection. There is joy. I can see joy in the horizon. You can see joy in the horizon. We are children of hope. We are children of God. Walking with God in the journey of Lent. This walking invites us, all of us, to think about the biggest meaning of our lives by the light, under the perspective of the one who was radically human and therefore also divine. He did not intend to establish a new religion. No, he didn't. He did not even claim that people were more religious. But what he, in fact, wanted was that they all, with religion or without it, were more human, supportive, fraternal, just, loving, and merciful. Merciful. For Jesus, it wasn't enough to be good. It had to be also merciful. Only that way one would be fully human. The God whom Jesus was announcing was a good father, but mainly was a merciful father. Feeling the pain of the other, lowering to one's level, to understand his or her vulnerability without judging it, was the core, the center, and the originality of God's message. God's message today is very present, very present. And how urgent and necessary is this scandalous human virtue or being compassionate in a world without piety, where nations are devastated by the ferocity of the capital that plunges into debts. We need to bring back We do need to bring back the figure of the good father, but fundamentally the figure of the merciful father. If there is an eclipse of the figure of the father in the modern society, there is also a longing for the Father's return. And this longing is already witnessed centuries ago for Telemachus, son of Odysseus, in the romance Odyssey of Homer. And he says, "If what the mortals more want could be got in a flash, the first thing I would like to have would be the return of my father." Curiously, this return is also augured by the Christianity in this memorial page of St. Luke, while talking about the return of the Father, the return of the Father to the prodigal son. To understand this return of the Father, it's important to understand the parable in the context of the practice and of the proposal of Jesus Christ. It is historically secured that Jesus would circulate among bad people, and also that he, Jesus, would sit and eat with them. To eat was considered, for the criteria of that time, a sign of friendship. Naturally, this attitude was provoking scandal among the pious people who were starting to criticize Jesus Christ. So the natural question is this. So why Jesus was assuming such ambiguous behavior? But to respond to this question, we have to identify Jesus' spiritual experience and his way of understanding God. Jesus knew, he experienced a God who is a Father of infinite kindness and who, therefore, assumes mother's characteristics. He welcomes all, the good and the one who is not as good, and it reveals a compassion without size, big compassion. The way how Jesus expresses God's compassion is to be Jesus himself, merciful, coherent with what he was advising to others. And Jesus was saying, be merciful as your Father is merciful. On account of that, he would get together himself with sinful people. So, in contact with him, with Jesus, they could feel the divine compassion of God. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. When Jesus breaks barriers, social barriers, and brings the compassion of God to people. This is beautiful. This is something that I cannot describe myself. And to facilitate, to help the understanding of the pious ones who were scandalized, Jesus says, describes, narrates three parables. First one, of the lost coin. Second one, of the stray sheep. And the more known of all, of the prodigal son. Each parable ends with these consoling words: "Cheer up with me, because I found the stray sheep. I found the lost coin, and because this son of mine was dead, and he has come back to life. He was lost, and now he is found." One needs to be silver coin of heart. Really have heart, a very hard heart. And be deficient of spirituality, not to appreciate this experience of God as a father of compassion. Since the love is unconditional, also unconditional is also the compassion. In this parable of the prodigal son, this truth is explicit. The innovation does not reside in the fact of the son returning to a father after having spent everything and to be full of remorse and longing. But the innovation resides in the fact of the father returning to a son. His father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him. So the father ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him, showing explicit acceptation. The father does not ask for anything back. Anything back. On the contrary, he prepares, he throws a party for his son. Let's celebrate! With that, Jesus, and Jesus is God, he wanted to keep it clear that God is a motherly father or a paternal mother who always turns to the children, sons and daughters. Doesn't matter how malevolent they are, because children never go out of a mother's heart. Just sometimes, brothers and sisters rarely turn themselves to others in order to have an experience of compassion. On the contrary, they show preferences in regards of people, situations, and keep on terrorizing the consciousness with punishments and the flames of hell. They choose the way of moralism and discipline, reinforcing the fear which maintains freedom enslaved and turns life in a very sad experience. And Jesus, who is God, he himself denounces this attitude, an attitude present in the good son who stayed at home in the shade of the father. The good son refuses to return to his brother. He wants the observance of the standard and the application of a punishment. This good son is the only one to be criticized by Jesus. To Jesus, it is not enough to be good. It is essential to return to our brother and show compassion. My dear sisters and brothers, I want to thank you personally for this opportunity to bring in the Word of God to you this morning. Thank you. And we are walking together and in Lent as we walk. The church also walks with Jesus towards the cross and then, right then, resurrection. Rejoice! We walk with Jesus as we execute his teachings and we display compassion. We follow the directions. We follow directions long deep seated, because we are a people who walk for beauty and compassion. God bless you. We are in a walk. We are walking together, following God's directions. We are good. Amen.
Please stand and repeat with me the affirmation of faith, taken from a brief statement in faith, as printed in the bulletin. In life and in death, we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we trust in the one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
So as you may notice in your bulletin, there's a special insert about the One Great Hour of Sharing, and for the next 4 weeks, there'll be this special inserts telling you more about the One Great Hour of Sharing. Every year, the money that comes in for this special offering gets divided into three different parts of three different organizations within the Presbyterian Church. There's the self-development of people, there's the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, and is it the Hunger Program? So each week, you'll be learning about each of those different organizations, and then the final week, the insert will be just generally about One Great Hour of Sharing. There are special envelopes in the pews. You may also use the envelope here to put your donation in for this week. This week we're focused on the self-development of people, and you can read in your insert about it. But we also have Dr. Reverend Kathy Sturgeonor, who's also my stepmother. But she is on the National Committee for the Self-Development of People, and she's here because she's on the task force for the Northeast, she's on the committee for the Northeast Task Force. And she'll tell you a little bit more about how that came into play yesterday. But she's also here because she's the chairperson of the church-wide committee, which their job is to get out into churches and teach them about self-development of people. So she's here to tell you about self-development of people, or otherwise known as SDOP. Which for a long time I thought she was saying STOP, and I couldn't figure out what she was talking about. So,
no further ado.
Thank you. It is such a joy to be worshiping here with you again, to be with you this morning. Thank you, Jenny, for that wonderful introduction. I did want to share with you, self-development of people is one of the ways that the Presbyterian Church tries to follow the teachings of Jesus. And as you have been hearing this morning, we are all walking together. And when one of us gets led astray or separated, Jesus always worked hard to bring that one back into community. And that's what self-development of people is all about. We try to